Welcome to Running, Alaska Public Media's candidate forum here on KSKA 91.1 FM and 360 North. I'm Zachariah Hughes, city reporter here in Anchorage. Elections are on April 4th, less than a week away, and on top of ballot measures on the taxi industry and school bonds, the majority of spots on the Anchorage Assembly will be decided, potentially reshaping the city's representative body. I'm talking with the two candidates vying to represent District 3's seat E, encompassing West Anchorage neighborhoods like Spinard, Turnagain, and Jewel Lake. The seat's currently held by Tim Steele, who is here in the Alaska Public Media Studios with me, as well as by his challenger, Mr. David Neese. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
We're going to jump right into some questions about city politics, but first, each candidate's going to we'll have 30 seconds to introduce themselves with an opening statement, starting alphabetically with you, Mr. Neese.
Okay. My name is David Neese. I'm running in West Anchorage. Met my pretty wife in college, and she said north to the future, so we came up here in 1979. My in-laws have been here since the 60s, so I love the place. I love Alaska. I spent 28 years teaching, and decided I need to give back to this community that's given so much to me.
All right, thank you. And Mr. Steele, your chance.
I'm Tim Steele. I came to Alaska 1980 to work up here, and loved it so much. I moved back up. I moved and bought my house in 85. I've been a West Anchorage resident all that time. Married here, raised my kids here, and was able to give them both their diploma when I was on the school board.
We are going to go right over into questions. So each of you will get 45 seconds to respond. And in the interest of fairness, we'll rotate back and forth between who will answer first. Mr. Neese, the first question goes to you. What specific changes would you like to see to the city's budget in the year ahead?
Well, the specific changes is I would like to see it not break the spending cap. We went $9 million over. The mayor's indicated he would like to go $10 million over next year. And that means you have to refocus on where you want to spend the money. We added $5 million on the police. So if you take $5 million and add to the police, you have to move it away from somewhere else. I love the parks and recs. I think public safety, parks and recs are very high priorities. And then we move on down the line from there.
Okay. And Mr. Steele, the same question to you on what in next year's budget you'd like to see reconfigured.
Well, there's a lot of things. Certainly, my priorities are education, funding, and projects. I think we need to continue to move forward and plan for the future. If we withdraw and pull back, then we will set ourselves up for a depression-type environment where businesses are closed, jobs will be lost, and so on and so forth. So we've got to stay the course, and property taxes are too high. So that's one thing I'll be looking at.
We are going to circle back to questions about revenues and budgetary items. But before we do, I'm going to switch it up and ask about public safety. So, Mr. Steele, this goes to you. What's your definition of public safety, and what plans will you push for to move the city more in that direction if reelected?
Well, we made a mistake. The prior administration allowed the police department to get too low, and we've been trying to fight that back. So public safety is just that, safety of the public, and we have not been doing a good job because we've been understaffed, and we've had two academies last year, and we're going to have probably one or two this next year.
Well, I heard a criticism there of what was not working, but so then what is your solution and what policies would you continue to push for?
My solution is to get the police department up to proper strength of 450 officers at least.
Okay. And Mr. Neese, the question is to you. Your definition of public safety and how we get there?
Public safety is when the public feels comfortable with their safety. So right now, I think in Anchorage, pretty much a lot of people are feeling uncomfortable in their neighborhoods. They're hearing gunfire where they haven't heard gunfire before. They're seeing people living in the woods they haven't seen living there before. So I disagree with Tim in the number of officers, because it doesn't matter how many officers you have if the response time goes down. And that's one of the metrics the police department has is response time to type 1 calls. And it actually dropped over the last 2 years, even though we've increased the police force. So I am an advocate for community policing. I like the community service patrols, anything that's eyes on the ground. I want West Anchorage to have as many patrols as downtown and Mountain View. because my people out there would like to feel just as safe in their house as the other people in the city.
So who does that then? Is that, I mean, is that just on community volunteers to volunteer for community patrols, or how do you get that eyes on the street?
A long, long time ago, when I just arrived in Anchorage, we had police reserve officers, and they would fill in the slack. So you wouldn't be tying up a $178,000 officer at a traffic thing. They'd call up the backup reservist, and he'd come in. And they're paid less, but they help the policemen be able to do their job.
Okay. We will switch back over to you for a question on industry. What industries would you like to see bolstered or brought to Anchorage, and any proposals that you have for getting them there?
Well, we have an interesting dynamic in that most of our industry is still oil-based. So in order to have that change, you have to change the way Anchorage is. I like the maker industry. I think a lot of towns that have been a one-industry town have done really well bringing a maker kind of thought areas where you say, here's an old warehouse, you guys will give you some money, and we'll go ahead and let you think of what kind of industries and stuff we have. Really like anything that's not given a barrier to it. You have to open it up. Iceland's doing really well with hosting of server farms. We have a nice cold climate. So bringing in server farms would bring in money.
Okay. And so, Mr. Steele, the same question to you. Industries that you'd like to see Anchorage lure or bolster in the future?
I think we need to broaden the tax base, obviously. And so that means a different type. We need to encourage startup industries, mom-and-pop stuff, and grow it and expand it. There's any number of products that can be produced, but small-scale production would be good, or service industries, too, are important.
Well, you've been on the assembly now. What tools do you think the assembly has to encourage that kind of small business?
We have land use tools and approvals, zoning, but also we can encourage partnerships, partnerships with Economic Development Authority and things like that. So there are things, tools to encourage development.
Okay. So this next question is for you, Mr. Steele. What kinds of solutions to homelessness in Anchorage do you think the Assembly and the city overall should be pursuing?
Right now, there's a fabulous task force that brought a number of public and private entities together along with the city to work on the homeless issue. We have a plan to improve Clethro, add beds to Clethro for drug abuse. We have people working on trying to get people off the streets. We have we've identified a number of folks, and we have housing issues. Getting people into housing is our goal, and there's a lot of organizations stepping up to help in that.
Do you think the foundation from the last few years has kind of made some headway in
making... Yes, they have. Not enough, but they're moving forward.
Okay, and Mr. Neese, it's the same question to you.
I disagree with the Housing First program. It's relatively expensive. They've housed 188 people, basically, but we still have a population running between 300 and 400 in the streets. When Maystrom did his original survey, it was 400. 400 seems to be our constant number. The best thing that works is charity. I mean, people do charity. You see them handing out money at the thing. They're bringing food into the food bank. But we have a very inefficient delivery system because we don't identify those people that are using the service more than once. Going out and identifying them so you can get them into VA housing and stuff like that's important. But if you're not looking at the users and trying to keep the users from abusing the system, then you have an issue.
And in your mind, has charity worked so far? I mean, if that's been the status quo, has that been any sort of solution towards the problem overall?
No, we're very inefficient in our charity. I mean, we don't identify people that are using the system multiple times. So
some disagreement there.
Yeah, we don't agree.
We are going to switch over now. It's going to be the opportunity for you to both ask questions of each other. You'll each get 45 seconds to respond. That'll be followed by another 45-second rebuttal from the original asker. So, Mr. Neese, with that, it's your chance to ask Mr. Steele a question.
All right. Tim, you were on the school board for 9 years. You doubled the school board's budget, and that's pretty incredible accomplishment because you made it bigger than the city's budget. But we didn't get a raise in scores, and we didn't get a raise in high school at graduation rates. How is spending more money the best way of solving a city's problems?
Well, I disagree with your conclusions. The The school district was growing at that time, and we did bring a lot of people in. We brought in teachers. We tried to keep teachers, and we did keep teachers. The educational system has since suffered from the same oil crisis that the rest of the economy is suffering from, and we're losing students. And in terms of the size of the budget, I dispute your facts in terms of doubling the budget, but we were on an increasing student population during those times.
Okay, and Mr. Neese, it's your rebuttal.
You can go ahead and look up the facts. You went up about 300 students out of 48,000. That's like 0.1%, but the actual spending for the district went up 100%. So that's a lot of extra money. We did go on a bit of a building spree, and there was about $1 billion worth of bonds that were asked to be approved. The only $750 million were approved. So it's a large part of the increase would be the debt service that you took on.
Okay. And so, Mr. Steele, now it's your chance to ask Mr. Neese a question.
Mr. Neese, you had seemed to have a tough time deciding which political office you wanted to run for this last time. And I know you've run for a number of different political offices and haven't been successful yet. Why did you choose the assembly as opposed to the school board?
Thanks for pointing out that I like running. I do enjoy running. I love the discussion that you get out there on the trail talking about important issues to people. I wanted to point out to the clerk that you have a flaw because somebody can actually run for two offices. And it took the actual attorney coming back and saying, no, you have to pick one or the other. So the assembly was the one where I thought that we could have good representation. I'm from the south end of the district. Both of my representatives are from the north, and our clientele is completely different on both ends of our district. So that's the reason I chose the assembly.
Okay. And Mr. Steele, a rebuttal from you, sir.
It makes no difference where you are in West Anchorage. I attend all the community councils. I actually drive my district at least twice a week. So I know what's going on in the district, and I service the entire district. Ours is not the largest district. It is a large district, but not the largest.
Okay. That wraps up the candidates' chance to ask questions of each other, and now we are back to questions for me. These ones will be a little bit more district-specific. If you're just tuning in, this is Running, Alaska Public Media's candidate forum. We're talking with both candidates vying to win the open seat in West Anchorage on the Anchorage Assembly this upcoming April 4th election. So starting this time with Mr. Steele, a question for you. What issues are facing residents in your district that you think the Assembly has inadequately addressed the last few years?
Well, there's a lot of issues that need to be addressed. We are attempting to one of the projects that I've been working on was road upgrades. Spinard Road has been looked at for 20 years. The neighborhood has been working to try and upgrade Spinard Road. That's something that I got funding for, and it will be done this summer, the segment Hillcrest to 30th. But all in all, the district is running pretty smoothly. There are needs for housing and services within the district, and hopefully we can upgrade some of those this next time.
Okay, Mr. Neese, the same question to you.
Well, I'm like I said, I'm at the other end of the district. Our number one issue on the Sand Lake side of the district is the South Pond and the new subdivision that used to be a gravel pit. The solution to it is to backfill it in, make it a wetland so you're protecting the aquifer for the people above. One of the other subdivisions across Diamond actually has its diversion water flowing into that pond, which was not supposed to happen. So that's a big issue to people when it's their drinking water. We don't have much of a crime issue. The airport is probably the next biggest issue out in our area in that they want to make sure we have a good, stable airport for the economy.
Mm. A question to you, Mr. Neese, is the city doing enough on public transportation, in your opinion, in the West Anchorage District?
In the West Anchorage District, the mayor's current bus plan was going to eliminate our route, and we'll have it like once, I think the last AMATS meeting I was at, it would be once an hour. instead of being regular. And we have a lot of people that commute out to the airport. The focus of the public transportation is moving over to the northeast side of town, the Kahatna Center and that area, running it there. And then our spokes expand back to us. But the fact that we've got a transfer area at Diamond Mall and then we're not going to be rolling through my area, it's concerning people.
Mr. Steele, public transportation?
Yeah, basically we looked at the transportation system, and we're running buses through districts where we have one person on the bus, and the wait times are too large. So the idea is to pull it back to where the people are riding the bus and to run them more frequently, so better transportation. That does put some of the areas at a disadvantage in that there are more residential areas that don't have access to bus routes or have less access to bus routes. But it was just an efficiency measure and to provide better public transportation to those people who use it.
Okay, we're just about at the end of the time that I have to ask you guys questions, but I did want one more. And so, Mr. Steele, we'll start with you. West Anchorage, and specifically Spinard, has seen a number of cannabis businesses apply for licenses and start to open. Is this a good thing for the district overall?
A business is a business in that regard. Marijuana is legal. So from that point of view, yes, it's good. We have pretty tight restrictions on them. As a matter of fact, the process is pretty onerous. But Spinard has had its share of it because those were the areas that had the buildings and the zoning appropriate for it. So I think we're about full. The other assembly member and myself have been discussing how much is too much. But so far, it's been great.
Okay. And Mr. Neese?
Yeah, it's really interesting because we went from having an alcohol problem in Spinard. It was notorious in the 70s and with other industries. And so to replace it with another vice as a business is an interesting choice. They look like they've been good neighbors. They haven't been open very much, so it's very hard to tell. They don't have public intoxicated people out and about, so it's very hard. It's very early in the measure.
We are out of time, but before we leave off, each candidate has the opportunity for a short closing remark, and we'll leave off where we began with Mr. Neese.
All right. My name is David Neese. I'm running for West Anchorage. I'm the conservative candidate, fiscally restrictive. I think we are spending too much and not getting enough services. If you agree with me, then I'm the person to cast a vote for.
Okay. And Mr. Steele, your closing remarks, sir.
I'm Tim Steele, a registered independent. I've been working for West Anchorage both on the school board and on the assembly, and I'm running to be reelected. So I would please vote. Please vote for me. And that's on the 4th. So thank you.
That concludes this portion of Running. I've been joined by David Neese and sitting Assemblymember Tim Steele, both of whom are hoping to represent West Anchorage. In just a bit, we'll be hearing from the candidates running for the seat in South Anchorage, currently held by Bill Evans, who opted not to run for re-election. Again, municipal elections are April 4th, although early voting is open right now. I'm Zachariah Hughes. Stay with us.